Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight we are here to ask God to fill our cup. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to lift it up high to Him. Amen. And ask Him to fill it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Whatever you're going through, just lift your cup up to Him and say, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my cup. Oh, fill it up, hey. And makes me oh, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it. Bye. till I want no more. Oh, fill my cup. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. Hey, it makes me, me,
somebody put your hands together for that. Amen. 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 Beloved, the situation may be contrary to the Bible that we follow. The environment may not be good. But the Bible says, whose report shall we believe? We will continue to believe the report of the Lord, which says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. The Bible says someone, the impotent man, tarried at the pool for 38 solid years. But one day somebody intervened and there was a turnaround. The Bible says Peter and his colleagues, they fished the whole night. They had nothing. But somebody intervened and there was a turnaround. Beloved, tonight, oh, there's going to be a divine intervention. Oh, yes, I can feel it. I can feel it. I said tonight, there's going to be a divine what? Intervention. Shall we welcome our pastor, Pastor Kafui?
Hallelujah. Can I have the worship team, please? Father, we bless you for this night. We ask for your strength. But we bless you this very night.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your presence.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you for utterance.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, O God,
speak.
Tell my tongue and use me.
Speak.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody be majestically seated in the presence of God. And turn your Bible to the book of James, chapter number 5. I'm not a very good fan of bad attendance. It disturbs my spirit. Amen. If I was a guest speaker somewhere else, I would not comment. But I'm not. Amen. I don't appreciate it at all. James, the 5th chapter. James, the 5th chapter. Are you there? The verse number 17. James 5:17. James 5:17. Amen.
Amen.
Elijah was a man. Underline, Elijah was a man. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. And 6 months.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me read for you, if you permit, from the Amplify. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and constitutions like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years. In 6 months. And that's a long time to live without rain.
Amen.
3 years.
Amen.
And 6 months.
Amen.
How many of you are fasting? Amen. How many of you are pretending like you are fasting? Amen. I have been thinking in this fasting period a little bit out of I have been thinking, amen, and studying on, because I have not studied in a long time. I'm not talking about Bible, like studying from the Bible. Amen. When I say I've not studied for a long time, it means I have not absorbed myself into reading secular books and secular studying and things like that for a long time. And I am someone who is very much, I love information. And I like to read and I like to study. So everything that I know is something out of a far memory. But throughout this fasting, I decided I want to read. I want to read. Not Christian books, but I want to read some secular books and all kinds of things. Now, when I was in college, I was in a double minor with sociology and history, and I was I was extremely interested in history, basically. I focused extensively on U.S. history. I'm telling you this because of the foundation of my message today. It's not long. As you see, my tablet is closed. It means there is no notes. Amen. So by 15 minutes, I will be done and we shall be praying. Amen? Amen? Oh, goodness. You need help. Have you broken your fast? Jesus. Hallelujah. My stomach is still very flat for me. Amen. Yes. So I have been reading on a couple of things, and a couple of things intrigue me a lot. I have been a little bit disturbed in my reading. Amen. Now, if you see how far science has come, it's very intriguing to the human mind. And this is why we have entered a generation that even in the church, it is difficult for you to believe in miracles. It is very difficult for us to have faith because science has come too far. Science has come way too far. Science has come so far to understand of curing and treating diseases that were practically impossible before. And science has been dealing with things. Like everything that is around us right now is not something that was built by prayer. Are you understanding me? Everything that is around us right now, everything you are enjoying in your room right now, is not built by prayer. And perhaps it was not built by men and women that prayed. Now we are coming to realistic times. Amen. Your iPhone, your tablets, your computers, and all these kinds of things are secular knowledge and secular information that has been given unto us. That is why it is difficult for them to accept your Christ. Because you have not contributed anything to civilization by your prayer. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? We have not changed. Jeremiah said that the summer is past and the harvest is over and we are still not saved. Isaiah also said the other time that we are as a woman in travail and we have come to birth, but we delivered wind and we have not wrought any deliverance upon the earth. In other words, we have not done anything on the earth. He said, even though it seems like we are pregnant, even though it seems like we are carrying something, Isaiah said, we have wrought no deliverance upon the face of the earth. And this very night, I want to take you in a different understanding. A different understanding. Now, if you ever read the book of Acts, the Bible said, and they pointed unto the disciples, and they said that these are they that turn the world upside down. They turn turned their generation upside down. They changed and they infested the philosophy and the sociology of their generation. How did they do it? The Bible said, and they gave themselves unto prayer. Oh my God. But we have come into a generation where we have not been able to change our generation. We have not been able to turn our generation upside down. Science has come too far. Science has come to an extent when science has built a rocket and the rocket has penetrated the heavens and the rocket is visiting other planets that we believers have no knowledge of. And in fact, according to them, we are ignorant and we are naive. The reason being that some of our fathers said that the earth was flat because they had little knowledge of things beyond them. There is something I want you to understand this very night. The Bible says that... Can I have church? Amen. The Bible says that the generation in the book of Acts, all they had was prayer. So every time you read the book of Acts, and every time you met them in every chapter, the Bible says either they were going to prayer or they were coming from prayer. I dare you, pick the book of Acts and begin to read from chapter to chapter, and you will see the sequence that every time we met them, every time their story was told, either they were going to prayer or they were coming from prayer. It was the only connection they had, and they used it well. Our generation is a different generation. Our generation believes in the God of the Bible, that but has not experienced him yet. I'm telling you, you can tell me how much of Jesus you know, and you can tell me the day you were saved and how you gave your life to Jesus, but it is not enough. That is not it. For Paul said that what? The other time that what? I come to you not with the excellency of speech or with the enticing words of men's wisdom. But Paul said, I come in the demonstration and of the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I did not come to speak big English. I did not come to use words that are beyond you. But Paul said, I came so I may demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when I leave your presence, all you will feel is the power. All you experience is the power. Not how well he was able to articulate his voice. That is the power. We have come to a generation where science has surpassed our capabilities. In the days of Philip, the Bible said he preached. And the Bible said after he was done preaching, scripture said, and he was transported by the Spirit of God. He did not take any plane, any airlines. The Bible said he was transported. In other words, the Bible said he disappeared. And the Bible said, and he appeared in another town. These things baffled our understandings. And as a new generation, we tell ourselves, I believe everything about the Bible, but Philip disappearing from the Bronx and reaching all the way to New Jersey, Because our generation has come too far where we have to make sense of everything before we ask God. See, before you prayed, you have already calculated how it will be done. Before you go down and you prayed, you have already told yourself what needs to be done and what must not be done. And so you know the path that it will take to be done. That is why your prayers are not answered. But there was a man in the Bible, in the book of James chapter 5, the verse number 17. The Bible calls him Elijah. And James made a very interesting and noteworthy statement. He said, Elijah was a man. And that is the biography of a man who did things that was inhumane, that was supernatural, that was beyond the capabilities of an ordinary man. He said Elijah was a man. Turn your Bible to the book of 1 Kings, the chapter number 17. Let me explain to you something from the Bible this very night. We're going to pray very soon. Give me 5 minutes. I'm already dropping. Elijah was a man. In the book of 1 Kings 17, the verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite. Jesus. He said, and Elijah. Now, this is the first time we have been introduced to the man. But the writer introduced him without an origin. Introduce him as though we knew him already. Beginning with the conjunction end. But this is the first time, listen carefully, because the word end is not to begin a sentence. If it ever began a sentence, it means that it continued from somewhere else. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? But this is the first time we are being introduced to this man. But the writer introduced him as though we have been already acquainted with him. He said, and Elijah, as though the writer had already said something about him before. But this is the very first time the Bible introduced the man Elijah. He had no origin. The Bible said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, Tishbe of Gilead. If in those days it said that you come from Tishbe, it means that you come from nowhere. Because Tishbites are people who have been rejected, tossed out and thrown out. So they are just living anywhere and nobody knows where they come from. So for the Bible to call him a Tishbite, it means that the man's origin was unknown. Every prophet in the Bible was carefully introduced to us. We knew their mother or we knew their father, but not this man. His origin is unknown. The first time he appeared before us, the Bible said he began to speak things and said, the Lord, and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Now listen very carefully. If you read about this man Elijah, he did a couple of things in the Bible that were not common or that cannot be done by science or human wisdom or human knowledge. This guy was very bold. Elijah did not enter into pressure, but he always invited pressure. A woman's son was dead, and Elijah said, give me your son. He invited the pressure. The woman did not say, pray for my son. The Bible says that, and the prophet of Baal withstood God. And Elijah said, tomorrow we shall meet at the Mount Carmel. Elijah invited pressure. The pressure did not come to him. And when they got to the mount, Elijah said, pour water on the offering. The guy invited pressure, wanting to do the impossible and wanting to do that which nothing else can do but God alone. I'm telling you, there is something about this Elijah. He believed in a God that specializes in impossible situations. He's a guy that we could not understand. That he lifted up his voice and said that there shall not be rain for 3.5 years. By the voice of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 11. And Moses says that word. And if you do not obey the command of God, he will shut the heavens. And Elijah knew that it was only God that can shut the heavens. So he made an utterance and said, before God whom I stand, the heavens are shut. And the Bible said, for 3.5 years, there was no rain. Listen, 3.5 years is not 3 days. Are you hearing me, someone? For 3.5 years, a man spoke up upon the earth, and the heavens refused to give rain. How did Elijah do this? And if you were reading your Bible, you would say, this guy is different. This guy is something else. If you were reading your Bible, you would say that Elijah is above me. If you were reading your Bible, you would say that Elijah is nothing like me, or I am nothing like Elijah. If you were reading your Bible, you cannot aspire to be like Elijah. I will understand if James said that David is a man like you and I, because David behaved like a man. He behaved like a man. He behaved like a man. This guy, before he would die, and before they would confirm that David was dead, the Bible said they brought a virgin, and they asked the virgin to lie with David. And when David could not touch the virgin, they declared the king is dead. That was the litmus paper by which they tested whether he was alive or he was dead. Because the king could not wake up to perform, they said the king is dead. Because David passed, and they left a virgin, a woman before him, and David did nothing. Said David is dead. If James had said that David is a man, I would have believed it. This man saw a very beautiful woman, took the woman, and the Bible said committed adultery, and on top of that, killed the woman's husband to cover the adultery. This is a soap opera. David is a man. I hear him, somebody. You see, David did certain extraordinary things, but he lived an ordinary lifestyle, but not Elijah. He lived extraordinarily, and he did extraordinary things. Elijah, the first time we were introduced, he was hidden with God. He was not in the congregation of men, and he never was together with men. He was always walking alone and always by himself. He was a lonely character, but this man possessed certain qualities that we cannot understand. If the writer should have told me that Peter is a man, I would have believed it. Because Peter had his weaknesses. Amen. I hear of someone. If the writer would have said that Peter was a man, I would have believed it, because many times Peter failed to perform when Christ said that he would lie, and Peter indeed did and disappointed the Lord. But Elijah, is a different person. But James brought us back and said Elijah is a man, because if we are not careful and we read what this guy has done, some of us would have said that Elijah is not a man. In other words, when we are praying, we would think that God handles our prayer different from the way he handles Elijah's prayers. But James said no, Elijah is a man just like you and I. There is no difference between you and Elijah. What God did with Elijah, he can do with you and I. I said, whatever Elijah did in the Bible, someone is here today. Your prayer can be answered the same way that God answered Elijah. Are you hearing this, someone? If Elijah cried and God shut the heavens for 3.5 years, I have news for you. I said he is a man just like you and I. He is a human being. The Bible said he is subjected to the same like passions, the same emotions, the same feelings, just as you and I. Elijah is a man. He has two hands and he has two legs. Elijah is a man. He has only one mouth to pray. But my God, Elijah prayed as though he was not a man, and God responded. Tonight, someone here, your prayer will bypass the realms of the natural, and your prayer will enter the supernatural. I declare here tonight, I said there shall be a supernatural performance in the name of Jesus Christ. You did not hear me. I said there shall be a supernatural performance. Tonight we are looking in into the supernatural. Are you hearing me, someone? I said tonight our performance will not be in the flesh. It will not be in the carnal nature. But tonight we will do what eyes have never seen, ears has never heard, never has it entered into the mouth of men, what God has determined to do for us. I said tonight there shall be a change. I said tonight there shall be a miracle for someone. I said tonight there shall be deliverance for someone. I said tonight what men said is impossible is possible with God. For the Bible said, whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord, and the report of the Lord says, I am healed, I am saved, I am delivered. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel myself in a different dimension. I feel myself in a different place tonight. If Elijah entered the supernatural, tonight you shall enter. I said tonight you shall enter. I said tonight you shall enter. If the prayers of Elijah did what men cannot do, then tonight I have news for someone. I say your prayers will bring a performance. Listen to me. We have bypassed the prayer topics of common things and regular things. Elijah was a man. If you should make a mistake and think that because he did not die, and a whirlwind of a chariot of fire came from heaven, and the Bible said that it took him out of the earth into the heavens, and the guy did not die, that the Bible said when Jesus Christ was praying in the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible said, and then appeared unto him Elijah and Moses. Moses symbolizing the law and Elijah symbolizing the prophet. He was the epitome of who a prophet is. And the Bible said that even when Jesus was praying, Elijah appeared. Listen to me. I want to change something about you tonight. Listen to me. I want to change something about you tonight. Right now, if you should enter any Jewish home on the Passover, when they place chairs around the table, they leave one chair behind. And the chair that they leave behind is not for Jesus. The chair that they leave behind is not for the Holy Ghost. But the chair they leave behind is for Elijah. Because it was prophesied in the book of Malachi that I will send my servant Elijah ahead of you. So right now in every Jewish home, they are waiting for Elijah and not Moses. Elijah. But yet still, James said he is a man. My God. How did a man have such privilege before God? Go back to James chapter 5. How did such a man get such a privilege? How did such a man came to such a point in his life that his life was nothing ordinary? James chapter 5. The verse number 17, Elijah was a man subjected to the same like passions as we are. And the Bible said, and he prayed that it might not rain. The Bible said, Elijah was a man such as you and I, but he prayed. He was a man, but there was something that made a difference in his life. It was his prayer life. The Bible said, and he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. He prayed earnestly. When the angel met Paul and he left him, the angel met Ananias and said unto him that go and meet Paul, he called him Saul, of Tarsus. Lay your hands on him, for he is in the city called Straight. Lay your hands on him and he will receive his eyesight. And the apostle said unto the angel, that have you not heard about that man? Have you not heard about that man? Have you not heard how wicked he is? How he persecuted the church? Oh my God, a mortal human being was instructing a messenger from heaven and telling him that, have you not heard about Saul? Have you not heard how wicked he is? How he killed, my God. But he had forgotten that the man was the one who brought the information of Saul to him. He said, have you not heard? And the angel said, behold, he is praying. He said that the man, you know, I don't know him, but I came here on the note of a different man, a man that is praying. He is the reason why I came here tonight. I don't know what they said about you. I don't know what they know about you. I don't know the lies and the gossip, whatever they are saying about you. But behold, he prays. I don't know who is planning against you, but there is something I know. If a man goes down on his knees, he becomes a different person, and heaven recalls him as a different character. Oh my God. And the angel said, behold, he prays. He prays. He prays. Tonight you shall be different. I said, tonight you shall be different. Everything we knew about you yesterday, it will change forevermore. I said, tonight it will be different for you. I said, tonight it will be different. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Some of you are still locked up in your past. Some of you are still stuck up in your weakness. But get away from that weakness. Elijah was a man. He had weakness, but with God, all things are possible. If a man attach himself to God, forget about his weakness. Forget about his failure. I came to tell somebody, I said, tonight, there is a different story about you. Heaven is telling a different story. I say, heaven is saying something different. In the name of Jesus Christ, Ananias said, you don't know Saul, but heaven told a different story. And tonight, heaven will tell a different story. In the name of Jesus. Elijah was a man, but he prayed. The difference between two individuals is their prayer life. The difference between you and the one seated next to you is your prayer life. The difference between Elijah, a human being, and I was his prayer life. Elijah was a man, but he prayed earnestly. See, the Bible said, and Paul is praying. He said, behold, he prays. But Elijah, the Bible said, and he prayed earnestly. In other words, not only did he pray, but his prayers were in earnestness. And as recorded by Jesus, the Bible said, while he was in Gethsemane, the Bible said, and he prayed more earnestly. Behold, Paul prays, and Elijah prayed earnestly, but Jesus prayed more earnestly. My God, my God. You may think that the writers of the Bible don't know what they are doing, but they understand what they are doing. That there are levels of prayers. Not all prayers are equal. Don't deceive yourself. Not all prayers are the same. Don't lie to yourself. There are levels and there are dimensions. There are realms and there are kinds of prayers. And tonight I tell someone, I say, look into a different dimension. Let your prayers be different. In the name of Jesus. Now let me end here. And he prayed earnestly that there shall not be rain upon the earth for 3.5 years. And James said, and it was so. And the scribe of 1 Kings 17 said, as recorded, Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall not be no rain. The presence you have will determine the accuracy and the performance of your prayers. The atmosphere by which you stand in will determine how far your prayers will go. Believe me, atmosphere is not easy to develop. Atmosphere is not easy. That's why sometimes when you call me, I don't pick my phone. I don't have the atmosphere to pray certain prayer topics. Amen? Understand it. In other ways, we are humans. There are days when we are in the spirit, and there are days when we are not. But John said, and immediately I was in the spirit. How soon can you obtain an atmosphere? John said, and immediately I was in the spirit. Listen to me. Where you stand will determine the efficacy of your ways. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. If you stand before President Obama, your ways will be different. If you stand before the Queen of England, your ways will be, some of you that we know you, that your ways are just uncouth and uncultured and all kinds of things. If you should stand before the Queen of England, you will be like someone who was trained in the palace. You will talk gently, you will behave gently, all of a sudden you will act proper and you will act right. But when you are with people like us, you tell us, as for me, this is how I am. He said, before God, whom I stand, that atmosphere determined his utterance. He said, there shall not be rain. Tonight, if you will find yourself in a different atmosphere, listen to me, we may all be here tonight, but if someone will look into a different atmosphere, see, I hate praying and I hate to see people moving around when we are praying. It tells me that you don't understand what we are dealing with. It tells me that you don't know where we are. Listen to me. If we should enter prayer and you enter the corridors of heaven and you come into the chambers of Elohim and you stand before the presence of God, how do you walk out again because one of your friends tapped you? Is your friend more important than the presence that you are? Elijah valued the presence so much that his words were weighty. His words carried power because of the presence. Tonight, I pray, may the atmosphere around you be different. I said, may the atmosphere around you be different. In the name of Jesus Christ, tonight I pray, may you be empowered. I said, may you be empowered. I said, may you be empowered. In the name of Jesus Christ, tonight may you zero in into the chambers of God Almighty. In the name of Jesus, tonight may you have company with angels. May your eyes be open. May you see in the realms of the supernatural. In the name of Jesus. Be on your feet. We're going to pray. I told you I have been reading some crazy stuff. To think how far science has come. How far? How far? To think how far science has come. It will be so hard for anyone to attach themselves to miracles. But anyone with experience is not under the mercy and subjected to anyone with an argument. Let me make it clear to you. I know I confuse you. Anyone with an experience is not subjected to anyone with an argument. Because if someone has an argument and they say that it's not possible because of this, they cannot convince someone with an experience. It does not matter how smart and how intelligent your argument is. It does not matter. If you have an experience, and I'm not talking about this Pepsi and Coca-Cola experience things, it's little miracles. Just like I got a job, I did this. It doesn't do nothing. We want you to experience the true nature of God. I'm telling you, it's not this stuff. I stuck to God because of what I saw. I drew so close to him because there was nothing else that could make better sense than that experience. I'm telling you. And until you get a real experience, believe me, there is a storm coming. You will not be able to stand. There is a storm coming. Are you hearing me, someone? there's a storm coming. Until you have been able, that is why some of you have to pray out of your senses. You are too wise. Some of us have to pray beyond what we know and what we have been told. Tonight we are going to pray. And I'm going to get the guys, they're going to help us in prayer as well. But we're going to pray tonight that your experience will change. That amen is annoyance. Oh God. Jesus. How of you are too used to church. Tonight we are going to pray that your experience will change. Amen. Some of you don't know what we are talking about. You don't know what we are talking about. Tonight we are going to pray that your experience will change. Let me. What changed the life of people in the Bible was their encounter. What made their stories extraordinary and made their God matchless was their encounter and their experiences. You cannot talk about him unless you have really experienced and met him. Amen. I'm serious. Deacon Charles, a man who wrote Amazing Grace at the peril of his life. When he was about to die, listen to me, it was a song of deliverance. Not a song of performance and concert and voices. And how you can hit the high octave. No. It was a man that was about to die that began to sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. It was not in the nature of his voice. It was in his experience that which he encountered. And the deliverance he went to was what caused him to lift up his hand and say, God, if you shall deliver me from this peril, from this storm, I will give my entire life to you. And from that day, John Newton became a different man. I'm telling you, you have not had an experience, because if you have had that experience, believe me, your nature will change. Your nature will change. You will walk through things. They may say, yeah, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How did I know that he is with me? I tested him in the wilderness. He said to Goliath, I have a point of reference. The other day I was in the wilderness alone with my sheep, and a lion came, a fox came, and I jumped upon them. I used my bare hands and I killed them. He had an experience. He had an encounter. And he said to Goliath, today, that same God that gave the lion to me, that gave the force to me, he shall give you into my hands. It is an experience. It was not a war thing. He was not trained. For Saul said, men have been trained from their youth. But you are too beautiful for battle. What are you here to do? Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Listen to me. I feel something. I feel something within the realms of the supernatural. I feel something in this room tonight. I feel something in this house. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Entire Papa. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift it up, lift it up. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice.